In order to become vulnerable with people, which is required for intimacy, you have to share things about yourself, like, these are my fears, this is what I'm feeling, these are my hopes and dreams. And of course, in my family, that's not what we did, because that's not what was modeled by my parents. There was no vulnerability shit going on in my family. We understood that it was emotionally unsafe to be vulnerable. Among other things, who's going to be vulnerable with people when you know they're going to talk about you behind their back?
Hi, I'm Barb Nangle. I want to welcome you to my podcast, Fragmented to Whole, Life Lessons from 12-Step Recovery, where I help people heal their emotional, psychological, and spiritual wounds and make deep, lasting changes in their lives. I'm the founder and CEO of Higher Power Coaching and Consulting. I'm a boundaries coach who specializes in helping women who are focused on what others are thinking and doing and neglect themselves in the process. And I have coached hundreds of people on how to build healthy boundaries using my exclusive Build framework. On this podcast, I share my experience, strength, and hope from recovery. I don't support or endorse any particular 12-step recovery fellowship, and I don't claim to speak for any particular 12-step fellowship. I also don't believe that 12-step recovery is the only way to recover. You might need additional help. I'm an avid beachcomber who collects sea glass, shells, wood, and stones. I am a formerly closeted fan of the Hallmark Channel, especially the Christmas movies. Hello, Christmas in July. I wear fingerless gloves from September to June because my hands are always cold, so I have about 15 pairs. And I get a huge kick out of counting how many days, weeks, and months there are until my birthday or Christmas at completely random times of the year. My hope is that you'll find my words concretely helpful in improving your life, whether you're in recovery or not. If you like what you've heard on this episode, please screenshot it and share it on your social media and tag me at Higher Power Coaching.
This is episode 229, Why I Think of Gossip as an Anti-Intimacy Campaign and Scripts for How to Stop It. I just got off a coaching call with a client, and for the umpteenth time, I said to a client, I think of gossip as an anti-intimacy campaign. Now, I made up that term, anti-intimacy campaign, but I feel like it captures a lot of the dysfunctional patterns and behaviors that I learned in my family, especially gossip. These are patterns of behavior that prevent any kind of real intimacy from happening. Gossip is the perfect example because when you're talking about people who are not in the room, you're not talking about yourself. I'm not talking about me. You are not talking about you. And that means you're not learning about me and I'm not learning about you. And we're never going to share anything that's vulnerable and creates intimacy with each other unless I talk about me and you talk about you. And this reminds me of a situation in my family when I was an adult. This was before I got into recovery, and it had to do with my dad. And I had said to him, you know, Dad, I feel like every single time we talk about my brother, and I guess it's okay from time to time, but it feels like the entire focus of our conversation. And after I said that to him, which by the way, when I say I said it, I mean, I emailed it to him because we didn't communicate directly. And I realized afterwards, oh, fuck, what are we going to talk about? Like, I don't know what to talk to my father about because I really don't want him to know anything about me because I don't want him knowing anything about me personally. So in order to feel, to become vulnerable with people, which is required for intimacy, you have to share things about yourself, like, these are my fears, this is what I'm feeling, these are my hopes and dreams. And of course, in my family, that's not what we did, because that's not what was modeled by my parents. There was no vulnerability shit going on in my family. We understood that it was emotionally unsafe to be vulnerable. Among other things, who's going to be vulnerable with people when you know they're going to talk about you behind their back? Even if you're not consciously thinking, hey, I'm not going to talk to Dad about this because I know he's going to talk about me behind my back because he talks to me about my brother all the time. But you know, on some level, that is what's happening. this is what that person does. So if you want to stop the fucking gossiping, then you need to start talking to the people who are in the room with you rather than talking about the people who are not in the room with you. This is called triangulation. Sometimes triangulation can happen with more than for three people. Actually, often it can. It just doesn't have to be three people. It's a dysfunctional pattern of communication represented by the drama triangle, which is also known as the Karpman triangle. I will put a link in the show notes to episode 176, which is all about that, in case you're not familiar with it. But one of the things that my therapist that I was seeing when I first got into recovery mentioned to me about why we gossip, she said, it's like your relationship with the person in front of you is unstable, like you're forming a two-legged stool and you're trying to add a third leg of the stool to stabilize the stool or the relationship. So that's why you bring in that third party into the conversation. And the reason that the relationship between the two of you is unstable is because, well, she didn't say this, these are my words, but it's unstable because the two of you are afraid to be intimate with each other. You don't know how to do that. You don't know how to have a healthy relationship. If you want to start learning how to promote intimacy rather than having anti-intimacy campaigns in your relationships, whether it's with your family, your friends, your colleagues, it doesn't matter who, I want to give you some suggestions for how to start changing those patterns. These are scripts that I gave my client today during our boundaries coaching session. Now, the scenario involves three friends. So this is literally a triangle, though there's other people involved that were being talked about. My client is friend one, and then friend two is someone who talks about her romantic partner and his ex constantly. That's all she ever talks about. And my client doesn't want to be rude and stop friend two from continually talking about the boyfriend's ex. But she's really fucking tired of listening to it. I told her it's not rude to have standards for your life and to request that people in your life uphold them. Now, you can't stop her from ever talking about her boyfriend's ex, but you can encourage her to talk about herself, or you could also let her know that you're not going to listen to her talk about the boyfriend's ex any longer. Now, there are all kinds of ways to do that. So here's script one for trying to get her to talk about herself rather than the boyfriend and his ex. It could be, you know, friend, I'd really like to hear about you. So if she drifts back into talking about the boyfriend and his ex again, here's another script that you could use. Script two could be something like, it stresses me out when you keep talking about his ex. Let's talk about something else. Script three might be, if you want to talk about them every once in a while, that's fine, but it's happening every time I see you and it's really stressing me out. So let's talk about something else. So that's three sample scripts, which I will include in the show notes. So here's another wrinkle in my client's situation. It seems that friend three is also really sick and tired of hearing friend two talk about her boyfriend and his ex. My client knows this because she and friend three continually talk about friend two. What they complain about is how she's constantly talking about someone else. And yet they're doing the very same thing. I encourage my client to talk to friend three about not continuing to talk about friend two. So the script here is very similar to the above script. It might be something like this. This is script four. Friend three, it seems to me that every time we talk, we end up talking about friend two, and it really stresses me out to do that. Let's talk about something else. Now, depending on the situation and your relationship, you might also add script five to that by saying, I'm going to talk to friend two directly about my concerns. I encourage you to do that too. Another option when trying to stop the dysfunctional communication pattern is to use script six and just say to people, I don't feel comfortable talking about X. Now, if someone says to you, why are you uncomfortable? You can simply say, I just am, without going into any detail. Now, remember to keep the focus on yourself here, not the person you're gossiping with. They get to do whatever the fuck they want. It is not up to you to make them stop gossiping. It's only up to you to stop gossiping yourself, which means you're going to have to put up some boundaries with them about what you will and will not talk about. And that's what these scripts are for. They're scripts for setting no more gossip boundaries. So here's something interesting that happened during this coaching call with my client. When I shared the first set of scripts about friend two, she said to me, can I tell friend three this is what you should say? And I said, nope, do not give unsolicited advice. Remember, keep the focus on yourself. First, try out these scripts that I've given you yourself. You wouldn't want to share something with her that you hadn't tried yet. And you don't want to tell other people what to do and say unless they ask or if you've gotten their consent, which I'll talk about in a moment. I told her, once you've seen that these scripts work for you, you could share them with her, but only if you get her consent. Don't just lob advice on other people without their consent. But if you're going to ask for consent, you might try this script six. By the way, friend three, I had that conversation with friend two about not wanting to hear about her boyfriend and his ex all the time. It went really well. She really heard me and things changed. I'd be happy to share what I said to her if you're interested. Now that phrase, if you're interested, is key because if she says, yes, I'm interested, you've got her consent. But if she says no, then you don't share it because people with healthy boundaries who want to stop the anti-intimacy campaign take no for an answer. So the gist here is, if you want to stop the anti-intimacy campaigns, particularly regarding gossip, that means you have to start talking directly to the people in the room with you about you and about them and not about other people. You cannot create intimacy with people when you constantly talk about other people and rarely or never talk about yourselves. When you consistently talk about other people, people know, at least subconsciously, she talks about others, so she's probably going to talk about me. If you're ready to finally have an enjoyable, relaxing summer doing things you really want to do, instead of always following other people's agendas, I have some openings for private clients right now. If you are really tired of saying yes to things you really don't want to do and being overly accommodating to others, this is for you. It's time to start accommodating yourself. Maybe you're dissatisfied with your relationships and overwhelmed with all kinds of difficult feelings because of your interactions with others. If you'd like to get your life in order before the summer hits, go to barbchat.net and sign up for a free 30-minute call with me about my private coaching so we can get started right away. That way, you'll be done by summer. This is for people who are finally ready to make deep, lasting changes in their relationship patterns, including their relationships with themselves, their partners, family, friends, and colleagues. Go to barbchat.net. If you like this podcast, and I'm guessing you did, or you wouldn't still be listening, then you're gonna love the other things I have to offer. If you'd love pre-released podcast scripts and episodes before anyone else gets them, or if you'd love access to content from my private vault that I developed exclusively for my private clients, which is like having a work session with me without me actually being there, go to patreon.com/higherpowercoaching. There are three tiers ranging from as low as $4 up to $24 a month. You'll also love my weekly newsletter, Friday Fragments, which has content very similar to the podcast. You can check it out at fridayfragments.news. That's fridayfragments.news.
please like and subscribe to my podcast on your favorite podcast outlet. I'd also love it if you'd leave a review, which you can do either in the show notes or on Apple Podcasts. It really helps other people find my podcast so they can get the benefits you've gotten from listening. If someone came to mind when you listened to this particular episode, please share it with them. And my favorite place to hang out on social media is Instagram. I'm at Higher Power Coaching. Please DM me there. I'd love to hear what you got from this episode. I run group and private coaching programs on building healthy boundaries. Whether you need help with boundaries in your personal, professional, or romantic life, I can help. Head on over to barbchat.net, where you can hop onto my calendar for a free 30-minute Better Boundaries consultation. My ideal client is someone who is ripe for change. If that's you, I would love to work with you. My goal with all my work is to help you make lasting changes in your life like I've made deep lasting changes in my life. Remember, it's never too late to recover. No one is beyond hope, and healing is possible. Thanks for listening.